chapter 7 tonight. Daniel chapter 7. I was going to go into Ezra, and I've been looking at Ezra and looking at that. And most people don't realize, and you know, the Jews in Ezra, they go back to the land when they go back to rebuild. And I'm not going to talk about Ezra, but anyway, they go back, and then they find out there's sin in the camp. And chapter 10, they have forced divorce. And it was forced on them. If they didn't do it, they were kicked out of the land or out of the temple area, out of Jerusalem. And the reason why they were marrying, they went out and married. That's why the last chapter of Chronicles, God calls them back to the land. And they weren't supposed to mix other the Gentiles. They weren't supposed to, just like the Bible tells us as Christians, we're not supposed to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And the Jews, I mean, and Hitler got that thing, and Hitler was like the Aryan nation was the pure blood and all that, and he wanted to kill any Jew, anybody else that didn't agree with him. But let's go to Daniel chapter 7, and we're talking a little bit about the Antichrist and about these kings. I want to ask you, I'm going to ask you tonight about these kings. Some of y'all, we did a study. When you study the book of Daniel or you study the book of Revelation, they go hand in hand. And when you study that, you can study about the Antichrist. You study about the kingdoms. And I wanted to throw something at you tonight, let you look at it, see what you think. And I've been reading this thing. It says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions on his head, upon his bed. And this is verse 1. And he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. And Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, a four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And usually when you talk about the great sea, probably the Mediterranean, and it says, and the four great beasts came up out of this from the sea, diverse one from another. And right around the Mediterranean is where these kingdoms are that Daniel talks about. You got Babylon, you got the Medes and the Persians, you got Grecian, and then you got Rome. They all around the Mediterranean. And that, and then when you find in Revelation, go to Revelation 13, you'll find this beast coming up out of the sea, and it's the Mediterranean. And I've talked about this before. We got our battleship. I think it's we have a, what do you call that when all the, you got aircraft carrier and about battle group. It's a battle group. They're all together there, and they're in the Mediterranean. And everything's going back to that area. That area is the hot spot of the world. And it says, verse 1 of Revelation 13, it's talking about the Antichrist. It says, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a great beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard. And America would be likened to that. America. And the beast that the Bible talks about is a man, but America's likened to the beast. They say America's the melting pot of the world. You got the Germans trying to separate themselves at one point, and they were saying they were the elite. But we know the Jews are the chosen people. We know the Jews were the ones that God chose, and they were supposed to not marry outside the Jewish religion. So when Hitler came into power, he went in and saw these Jews, and he put them in ghettos and everything else and started killing them. And they weren't supposed to marry outside. And they were trying, that's why you got these communities. And then people in the Jewish religion, if you marry outside your religion or the Jewish people, then they can put you out of their religion and shun you. They'll shun you. That's where the Amish got that from. And I says, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear. And we know that's the bear is like in Russia, and Gog and Magog, and that's a type of socialist. Isn't it funny? It's not really funny, but isn't it funny that we got a pope that's a socialist? Well, we don't, but there is a pope. And the pope, he's the first Jesuit pope they ever had. In history, first one. He's the first Jesuit. You know what he's doing? I just saw a picture of him the other day. He was in a Buddhist temple with his shoes off, worshiping in the Buddhist temple with the Buddhist the hierarchy. And he was telling them, we're all the same. We're together. We serve the same God. And you got Buddha, a gold statue in the temple of Buddha, and he's sitting under it. Then I got a picture of the Pope kissing the Quran, telling the Muslim, the Imam, telling them, we're the serving the same God. So right, as we sit here, and we're trying to make it through life and trying to, you know, witness, and while we're sitting here, this stuff is going on behind the scenes that people don't know about. It's bringing a one world religion together. And all this stuff is coming about, and people don't think the Lord's coming back. Man, this thing is getting closer than you think. The Bible says, look up for your redemption draws nigh. You don't know when it's going to be, but I tell you what, you got to keep your account in order. The Lord's coming back. He's coming back. And I mean, the first Jesuit pope, you know what the Jesuit order was for? Is a military section of the Roman Catholic Church. They were to go out and bring all nations under the power of the Pope. That was their mission. That's why they got kicked out of China. They got kicked out of Japan. The Buddhists, they kicked them out. So here's the Pope back over there. He's in Thailand where he was at. He was in Thailand with the monks and getting it back together, trying to get all the religions of the world together. So here you got this beast coming up out of the sea. And I've told you before, I believe the Antichrist is alive. And I believe he's probably around, maybe he's a teenager right now. Maybe he's in his 20s. But I believe he's close. And he was raised and taught in the colleges of America. I just read the other day there's over 1 million Muslims in colleges around this country. Where's all the violence and stuff going on is in the colleges. And they're teaching socialism. And it says, his mouth is the mouth of a lion. He speaks English. Everybody wants to speak English. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat. The Bible talks about the seat as a seat of power, the seat of power. Now, the Bible tells you that the Antichrist has got a place where he has it's called Satan's seat. That's over in Revelation, where is it? Maybe Revelation 6, no, let me see. Somebody find that for me. Yeah, it says there it is, 16:10. Well, that's one of them. That's not the one I was looking for, but it says, and the fifth angel poured out his veil upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, just like God did to Pharaoh. 2:13? Let's go to 2:13. Go to Revelation 2:13. There it is. There it is right there. Revelation 2:13. Look at this. I know thy works. This is the seven churches. And these seven churches represent seven periods of time, and they represent something going on in the tribulation period, seven churches in the tribulation. Plus, they represent seven time periods, and historically, they represent the churches of the past. Three applications. You got the historical, you got the spiritual, and you got the doctrinal. And it says to the angel, verse 12, of the church and Pergamos write, these things saith he which have the sharp sword with the two edges, I know thy works where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. So the devil's got a place where he sits. I believe it's in the Vatican. They got a place there, and I forget the name of what they call it. It's called Peter's... It's in the cathedral, but it's a seat that they have a special name for. When the Pope sits in it, it's as if God's talking. Huh? It's in the cathedral, but it's a seat that they call it. It's like Peter's seat, something like that. It's a name for it. But whenever he's sitting in that, he's speaking whatever he says from God. So you got a Jesuit priest that now he's saying, you know, he's saying all kinds of stuff, man. He's trying to unite religions in the world. He's trying to bring them together. But the reason I'm telling you this, he says, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith. The Lord said, wherever this place is, Pergamos, it's got to be near Rome. He says, holds fast my name and has not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was a faithful martyr who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. So Satan's got a place where he dwells. It's not, and people think it's in hell. It ain't in hell. Now go back to Daniel 7. But the reason I'm thinking about this thing, I want to show you something. It says, verse 2, Daniel 7, 2, it says, Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. And the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. And I beheld till the wings were plucked off. That could be a type of England, even though it's, you know, represents what Schofield has is Nebuchadnezzar, a lion. But it could be England. He says, England, they used to say the sun never set on the English Empire because of England, you know, controlled the world. They had India, they had China, they had Australia. Just they went around the world. I mean, England's the English power. And he says, I was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon my feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And it says, the lion. And type of Nebuchadnezzar. And behold, another beast, a second beast like a bear, and it raised up itself on the one side and had three ribs in his mouth of it, between his teeth of it. And they said said thus unto it, arise and devour much flesh. And they're saying that's, Greece, the second beast, was type of Alexander the Great, this second one here. The first one was like Medes and Persia. They got Nebuchadnezzar in the Schofield Bible, but it's the Persians. And this second one was Greece, Alexander the Great. And then this is the fourth one, and Schofield has it as a little different. And after this, I beheld, and lo, another a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl, and beasts had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. And everybody's kind of, you know, figuring this, what is this thing? And they got Rome, but it's also a type of America. And because I went over to Revelation 13, it talks about that beast coming out of the sea as a type of America. And it's a type. I'm saying everything's a type there. And verse 7, and this I saw in the night vision, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, strong exceedingly. It had great iron teeth. And it devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had ten horns. Remember over there in Revelation, that beast had 10 horns, had crowns on his head. He didn't have no crowns here. He's going to get them. And then it says, I considered the horns. And check this out. And behold, there came up among them another little horn. In the middle, it says, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things. And what I was thinking about that thing, it says, he came up, that little horn came up, and I thought about the three religions of the world that the Pope's going after. I mean, he's head of Rome. That's about 1 billion people. If he hooks up with the Buddhists, that's another 1 billion or more. And then if he hooks up with Islam, that's 2 billion or more. And it says three kings, or plucked up by the roots. It says another horn, talking about the little horns. And the first horn in another place, it says three kings. And these guys are over. These guys are over kingdoms. These religious, like popes, they're over religions. And this guy, this little horn that comes up in the middle of it, he comes up through the Catholic Church. And he devours all of them, because in Revelation 17, he points 10 kings and they destroy the church, the Roman Catholic Church, Revelation 17, 18. So if you got all Buddhism, you've got Japan, you got China, you got Thailand, you've got Vietnam, you've got all these different countries. He said, where's the Christians at? They'll be taken out of here. Real Christians. I'm talking about saved people. And you got Islam, you got Iran, you got Iraq, you got Afghanistan, you got Turkey, you got Egypt, you got all these other countries. This little horn's coming up. And then you say, what about the Catholics? You got Europe, America, and you've got parts of Australia. You got what else? South America. You got all that. And this little horn that comes up is the Antichrist. He don't care nothing about religion. He just uses it. And he conquers the world through religion. Because the Bible tells you he doesn't even fire a shot. Look in Revelation chapter 6. He's going to use religion. You know what's turning people off? Religion. They don't want to hear nothing about religion. But you got all these religious people, push comes to shove, who do they identify with? They identify with religion. You know, I was raised this, I was raised that. Revelation 6. And verse 7, it says, when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. His name is that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him, and power was given on him over the fourth part of the earth to kill, sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Now, you're getting in the second half of the tribulation. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw on the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now, this little horn comes up. He starts killing people that disagree with him. He starts doing away in any religion. If they disagree with him, he'll kill them. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, do thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little while, a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld, and he had opened the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun had became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell on the earth, even as a fig tree cast out her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll, and it rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and great men, and rich men, and chief captains, and mighty men, and every bondman, every freeman, hid themselves in dens and in the rocks of the mountain, and said to the mountains, fall on us, and so on. But look at, I was looking for something else here, I had in my mind. There it is. Verse 1, I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw and beheld a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow and had a crown that was given unto him. He didn't earn it. He got it. And he went and conquered and to conquer. And he had a bow but no arrows. He didn't fire a shot. He takes it because the Bible keeps talking about his mouth. He takes it with his mouth. Go back to Daniel chapter 7. And we've seen some mouthy people come up. Daniel chapter 7, verse 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings, and he shall speak great words against the Most High. He devours 3 kings. Those kings could be the king of religion. Each religion. This guy doesn't care about religion. And you got the Roman Catholic Church, you got Islam, and you got Buddhism. The three biggest. I was just thinking that. Just seeing the Pope do that. And he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High to think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until times and dividing time. That's in the latter part in 3.5 years. Go back to Daniel chapter 7 and look at verse 8. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, a mouth speaking great things. This guy hooks up with the religions and then takes them over and destroys them. Look in Revelation 7:17. And the Pope is the one gathering. I believe the Pope is going to be the false prophet to gather everything together. And it's called Mystery Babylon. There's another thing. And he's called, look, go back to Revelation chapter 13. Let me go to 11 here. I looked at it a minute ago. Well, maybe it wasn't, maybe that wasn't it. Revelation, let's go to Revelation 13. Look at verse 11. It says, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. There's some horns. He spake as a dragon. The horns back there, three of them, he devours, or comes up in the middle of them, and devours them and takes over, and he's speaking with his mouth. He exercised all the power of the first beast before him. So the first beast would, if you can like it to it, the Roman Catholic Church. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. He exercised all the power of the first beast before him and caused the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. The Antichrist is going to get killed, deadly, just like, you know, he's going to raise from the dead, and he's going to and he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men and deceive them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. And saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast. So he uses religion, but he hates religion. He uses it to get to the means that has all power. He uses that religion. What's the most powerful religion? Islam. And he's going to be part Islam. He'll be part Jewish. So he's using the religion of the Catholic Church, Islam, and Buddhists. And if you have those three religions, you have the world. You've got the world. I just thought about that. I said, that might not be right. But I was thinking about it. It might not be right. You know, like what happened when I was in Bible school down in Greenville, South Carolina, and a lot of times when you read commentators, you're always liken it to Europe or to a kingdom. But then if you got the religion, you've got five or six. Well, Islam, you've got 10 countries with Islam. You've got at least 10 countries with Islam. You see Egypt, you got Libya, you got parts of Ethiopia, parts of most of Africa. Islam's moving through Africa like a wildfire. And then you've got Iran, Iraq, Saudi Arabia. You've got all these countries, probably more than 10 countries. The Pope is slick. He's slick. And the Antichrist is going to be smart, very smart. And he rises to power without even firing a shot. He uses his mouth. So when I seen the Pope doing that the other day, sitting there and the bells are ringing, he's got his shoes off, he's honoring Buddha and all that, and telling them we serve the same God. We're the same. I thought, wow. And I got pictures of him kissing the Quran, and he was in Egypt or somewhere. He was somewhere and kissing the Quran, telling we serve the same God. So if you talk to Muslims, they'll say, oh, we serve the same God. But the problem would be Islam has a problem with Buddhism. They call Islam calls Buddhism idolatry because they're worshiping a statue. So that's where the problem's going to come. And Christian, you know, you Catholic Church, they don't have no problem worshiping statues. There's no problem there. They can worship Mary. They can worship Peter. They can worship all these other statues. Toast. So when you think about that, you think about the Antichrist coming up, and this thing wouldn't have happened until you got a Jesuit priest that came in there. At first, we all thought it was communism, which is a part of it. See, it's all a part. When the Bible talks about the beast coming up out of the sea, having feet like a bear and all that, and then it talks about Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and it calls it Mystery Babylon. It's got part of Babylon in there because of why? The Baalites, they all wore black. They all worshiped angels. They did all that stuff. And they killed babies. So if the Antichrist is going to get in power, he's not going to get in power from the United Nations. He'll get in power by the uniting of religions. And he'll use it for his own gain. That's my thought. Take a prayer request.